You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Stanley Cup winner, Game 7 hero, analyst on the NHL Network, and my co-host on the DFL Rundown podcast, Mike Rupp, joins us. Rupper, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. How you doing, Gregs?
Hey, I'm pretty good. What is that? Where are you at today? Where is that? Like your, is that the NHL Network studio?
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we got our little. They kind of do up a.
Is that all the jerseys you wore?
Stalls. Yeah. We got a couple. Suitcases.
I was just
going
to say, holy cow! Boiler needs mine, like a lot.
Boiler. Yeah. Boiler almost took up two stalls. runs into Jason Demers and then Corey Schneider back over there too. But we got a lot of jerseys covered on with the four of us.
JD Love. Oh my God. Oh, that is too funny for Demers. Pretty funny dude. I'll give him that. Don't tell him I said that though. Robert, I was crunching some numbers earlier today, having watched the Winnipeg Jets. Like. I always say this, sports is the best reality, is like, that's real reality TV, right? All the other stuff, like there's no writer would have ever written this thinking, like there's always worst to first storylines, but first to worst, it's never actually happened in the modern era of the NHL. It did happen in 41-42. Your Rangers went from 60 points to 30 back when they played 48 games, went from first to sixth, which is still a pretty big drop of 30 points. But No one's done it since. And, you know, the worst a team dropped was in the 24-team league. They went from first, funny enough, the Rangers also. Then they dropped down to 19th out of 24 teams. That was from 94. So I look at this Jets team and, you know, last year, obviously Hellebuyck played well, but they had a really good defensive environment. Kevin Woodley outlined it for us. Their power play was very good. Nothing is going right. They blew a 2-0 lead. They blew a 3-2 lead. They've only won one game in their last 14. Like, pretty much their season's over, unless they're going to have, like, the greatest turnaround ever. It's wild. And they don't have a lot of tradable assets, and they got a lot of their guys signed long-term. Is this just one of the where you chalk it up and say, let's not panic? Or do you think the Jets should try to make a significant move?
It's so hard because of what you just laid out there, you have a couple of extremes. So, I mean, I would normally say in a situation like this, whether it's however you want to, you know, come up with a solution, is it this isn't our year? We've got to make some little tweaks here and there going into next season. Or it's hard to get a read though, because you went from President's Trophy winning team that did all those things you talked about. I mean, they're top five team, offensively, defensively, most importantly, in pretty much every category, the Winnipeg Jets, like, they were dialed, and they're not. They don't have that luxury this year. They're not very good defensively. So I don't know how you kind of, at what point do you try to say, okay, we can still make a move this year? Are you going to try to shake it up to move forward this year, or is it, let's recalibrate and come back next year? But then you got to really, that's kind of alluding to you being, believing that last year was more of who you are than this year. So this is a really tough self-evaluation they got to do here. So I do think that they are much more of the team from last season than they are from this season. I don't know what's going on, man, because for a team defensively, usually – you can see dry scoring, dry up. You can see like foundational defensive play that seems to be a part of the fabric of your organization. That usually doesn't just disappear. That's usually still in there somehow, some way. I'm just not sure what is going on this year in Winnipeg, because this looks like a completely different hockey team.
Well, yeah, and confidence is a big thing. Now, the one thing, Rupper, they looked like they got slow really quick. Right, and the game is fast, and they got older and slower. And I think so. The Jets, they got to get rid of some guys. You know, now some of the signings haven't worked. You know, they tried Jonathan Toews, and you know what? Maybe on another team, you know, he could help out a bit. Someone might take him because he wins a lot of draws and he's got the Stanley Cup pedigree. So someone might take him as a free agent. But you know, Tanner Pearson, older, not a great skater. Gustav Nyquist has been a disaster. you know, Nemestikov. They've got a lot of guys that, you know, you'll probably want to shed some. And if they could just get some better speed down their lineup, that might help them. But it's also their power play. Like, the power play was great last year, and this year it's not even remotely good.
You talk about the power play, but let's even look at some of the other forward lines that they had going where, I mean, I'd argue the last number of seasons they've had through different stretches. I know that's changed in some regards too, but you had one of the best third lines in hockey when you have Lowry, Niederreiter, and you had Mason Appleton. Well, Mason Appleton's not there anymore, obviously, but that line without having Adam Lowry going at the beginning of the season for a good portion, like that hurt them. And I think it hurt them because that's the time of year when you're coming into a season where everyone starts getting on the same page, the chemistry gets going, and you're hoping to maybe to garner, all right, this is our lines, this is how we use them. That Lowry line was usually in the past used after goals for, goals against, start periods. Like it was a nice little way to take off pressure from the big dogs on the top line. But then you also had last year, Nemesnikov was really good on that second line center position where you got an Ehlers. Perfetti was awesome last year. Like you don't have some of those that, well, in Ehlers' situation, he's not there. And Perfetti was a tough start for him in this season. And you mentioned Nemesnikov. So it's like almost where we see some teams have all these good things going for them. You can't have all of them just drop off. And I think that's what we're seeing. It's the top line was dominant. I mean, still is a dominant top line, but you need more than that. Like you need to have a lot of elements of your game going. You don't have to have them all going, but they've had a lot of things drop off since last season.
Yeah, no question. You look at the Art Ross race, Rupper, and suddenly it is it's pretty tight. McDavid and McKinnon. McDavid, you know, has made up 9 points on McKinnon since December 1st, and now he's actually 1 point ahead of him. You know, Kucherov's being great, but he's 14 points back. I just don't know if you can do it. But you had asked about this a while ago, Rupper. It's like you read into your crystal ball, and it's worked out because McKinnon and McDavid, like, these guys are flirting. You know, both are on pace for 140 points, and if they keep rolling, you know, they could push even close to 150.
It's incredible to see. What was the date? We probably came across the same thing with that stat. Since the one game with McDavid, I mean, he's cooking it like, I mean.
Well, he's got 39 points in this 16-game point streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you're talking sometime early December through now, I mean, he's going at like a 200-point pace. Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, this is, that's what I want to see. And we've mentioned it before where I want to see McKinnon and McDavid pull away. I want to see him pull away from the group, and they are. And I expect it to happen even more. And I just want to see these two just go toe to toe, back and forth. And you know, I just find it really interesting to me because I think Nathan McKinnon, a lot of people would have him as a Hart Trophy favorite. I would think you obviously with what Connor's doing, he's got to be in the conversation. There's other storylines that are fantastic too. But it's just funny when we get to this point and the story is still going to be written. This has been a world-class season so far for Nathan McKinnon because of the team winning every game, it seems like, not losing in regulation very frequently. They have as of late. But it seems like the picture-perfect storyline for him in the Colorado Avalanche. Well, that hasn't been the case here for Connor in Edmonton. Like, there was times where I'm on the show with you, Gregs, and it's like, what's up with McDavid? He does not look like himself. Something's not right. And for us to go from that, and it was that for quite some time, to right now you're mentioning him having a lead, I just find that really incredible to look at where you have everything going good for Colorado, Nathan McKinnon, Hart Trophy potential, to McDavid, where this has kind of been a yin and yang season for him. And he's still where he's at. You know what I mean? Like that shows how great this guy is, that he can kind of flip the script in that regard. And as far as Art Ross goes, I mean, it's fun to watch, man. He is appointment television. We've known this for years. I think right now what he's doing is something that's nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Is it 2.44 points per game in his last during this 16-game point streak, where he's racked up 39 points, which is still not as good as Leon Draisaitl's 42 points in 16 games against the Nashville Predators, Rupper. Like 16 straight, you got 42 points against the Preds. Scores again last night, 2 points. We had the odds. Like, I would never bet a guy that gets 3 points in the game, but we had it as one of our odds boosts yesterday. Play Alberta, Dreisaitl will do it. I hope the guys did it because it hit. It's a wild stretch over almost seven years that you dominate one team like that.
It's incredible. I want to say, was it last year? Because we have to give our prop bets and stuff on this NHL Network show we do. And, you know, we'll look at some things going into games. And I think the big thing, there was one time I remember I jumped on something with Leon in Nashville. I think there was a game recently that he had nothing. I'm like, oh, of course, when I'm gonna bring up Leon's going to dominate like he has been, but he's back on that wagon now. And it's... Yeah, I don't know what it is, because listen, if we're all talking about, you don't think the Nashville Predators talk about it, they're aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
You're obviously aware of that, but I don't know what it is, but that is probably the most dominant performance against one singular team that we've seen in our modern game. I can't really recall anybody else having that type of dominance. There's some really impressive ones, but that one is like unearthly.
Yeah, like I looked at that time at everybody else in the NHL, and Dreisaitl actually has four teams, Rupper, in that time, in the last 6.5 years, four teams where he's had over 2 points a game, minimum 15 games played.
Wow.
Nashville, Seattle, Anaheim, and Chicago, and then McDavid has two teams, Anaheim and Nashville. But so Dreisaitl, he's dominating Nashville, but there's just certain teams where, you know what, they're obviously great matchups for him, and you dominate. And you can say, well, hey, McKinnon's an elite player, and he's very good, don't get me wrong, and Kucherov and these guys. But when it comes to that, now McDavid and Dreisaitl go together, but last night they were on, I think, for the one goal together, and then they produce on their own lines, and that's obviously a good thing. But that's what's dangerous is when those two get going on their own lines, that's when the Oilers are a lethal problem. It hasn't happened that often, but here we are, Rupper. And the Oilers, I would say, have had an average season, at best, average. But they're tied for first and could run away with the division here in the second half with a much more favorable schedule.
I guess that's kind of my point from the individual standpoint. It's been a very kind of average season for different stretches individually, but then even as a team, and here we are. So I don't think many people have ruled out the Edmonton Oilers as being a contender in the West, even when they were struggling, because we've kind of seen some levels of this before and in the past, and you're not going to discredit those guys. But we're starting to see it kind of the way we expected maybe the entire season to look for them right now. And this is a team that is it's totally different what we're seeing right now. And I still think they're figuring things out. I mean, they're still, getting Jarry back. They're still going to be figuring out their goaltending. They're still going to be figuring some of this stuff out on the fly. Like, I don't think this is like a polished up finished product to roll into the playoffs with. So they're still working at it, but this is the team I think people were expecting, a team that can be a real tough out and get those guys going. You don't even know what it's going to look like. Some nights going to be together. Some nights it's going to be apart. But the Edmonton Oilers are looking like they just the same team that made the finals the last 2 years.
The Anaheim Ducks have only the Jets are worse than them over the last 15 games. What do you make of the Ducks? And really right now they can't defend. They got lit up the other day. I know it was two empty net goals, but still they gave up five plus two empty netters to Washington again. How concerned are you there? And what's gone wrong in Anaheim? I just think it's too much youth on the back end.
Yeah, I mean it's youth is certainly a factor. But even when the youth was serving them pretty well at the beginning of the season, kind of giving them that boost offensively. And I don't think they were defending very well during that time either as a team. Like they're not a team that's going to they're going to give up some looks against. And I think the big difference is before Dostal went down, he was a real difference maker, and they were getting the right goaltending to kind of offset some of that. And with Dostal, the injury, and then him coming back, it just isn't the same. They are probably giving up about the same type of looks that they did before, and that just makes your margins a lot thinner. So if you're not scoring as many goals, guess what? You're not winning. And they have to find an area of their game that they can have as their crutch and lean on a little bit. And it's just got to be tightening up a little bit defensively and be a little more selective in areas. But I'm concerned with them. I still think they should be a team in that Pacific. If they still think they're a playoff team, I'm still kind of thinking that they're a top three in that division, but they're gonna have to turn that pretty quick, or I might be changing my mind on that. I just think that they have a lot of they've got a lot of pieces. They've got a lot of pieces that if they can just get some sort of find a way to make it a little more stable here in the next couple of weeks, I think they'll start getting into a little bit of a groove again. But right now, the hardest thing is stopping the bleeding because they're hemorrhaging right now. And but I also don't believe in some of the other teams necessarily. Like, I don't want to bring up and make it about them, but I don't believe the Seattle Kraken are a better team than Anaheim. I don't believe that the LA Kings are that much better than the Anaheim Ducks. So they've certainly got a chance, but they got to end this losing streak here real quick.
Looking at a few of the other teams, Rupper, and the Colorado Avalanche had an unreal season. Now they've lost two in a row in regulation. They some key injuries, right? Taves is out, Landeskog's out, Blackwood's injured again. They were on a run. I'm not worried about them. Like, they've got so much of a cushion. Heck, they could lose eight in a row, and it wouldn't change much. But the Dallas Stars, they've suddenly lost six in a row. And aren't like, and they can't stop a beach ball, and they can't defend. Like, it's kind of shocking to look at what's happened here for the Stars. Any concern? You just think this is like an odd blip for them?
I mean, a little bit of a concern. I think that even if you just go off of certain mile markers, like when the Quinn Hughes trade happened to the Minnesota Wild, if you remember at that time, I think Dallas was only like 2-3 points off of Colorado for the top record in the league. And then it was like the Wild were maybe 10, 12 points below them. Now that's all kind of shrunken and gone, the Wild are, you know, I don't have the standings in front of me right now, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty much even now. The Wild and Stars are right around the same. And so that's changed. But, I mean, it kind of feels like it's going to be inevitable. It's going to be a Minnesota-Dallas round one matchup. So I guess you could say that they're just losing home ice maybe in that first round right now, but it's not a good spot to be in because this team is much better than the way they've been playing. I'm not concerned about them. They've got enough time here to get back going on track, but they certainly don't look like the Dallas Stars that we thought we were seeing early in the year where they can compete with the Colorado Avalanche. I think when you're looking at it, that Quinn Hughes trade made the Minnesota Wild much closer to Colorado than they once were. I thought Dallas was very close to Colorado before, and now maybe it's not as close as we thought. So whatever that means for you or anybody else, regardless, all three of those teams I just mentioned are going to have an extremely tough path in the playoffs. The Dallas Stars, I think they'll be okay, though.
Rupper, always good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the show tonight. We'll talk to you Friday on the rundown.
Awesome, buddy. Enjoy.